Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And we're back. Folks, I've got to apologize. The past few days have just been really hard. As a matter of fact, I told you back, I think in May, that I was going to be, because of my health, taking some medication and so forth, that would probably impact me. And so as I started getting off this medication, it has definitely caused lethargy. And just like I have, you'd think that I had COVID because my energy's been completely zapped. Last night I spent 11 hours sleeping. I have not done that since I was a kid. And anyway, I just want to let you know that I apologize, but I need to kind of get through this. And as a matter of fact, in our next episode, we start reading the Constitution. And as I go through the Constitution, I want to highlight all of the parts that are being violated as we go through it so that you can understand just how bad it is. Because when we look at the limited scope that the federal government has, they've easily gotten to the space where they don't believe that they're limited at all. They can do anything and everything they want to do. Everything is up for their discretion and their ultimate decision, as though they are sovereigns over all things. I've been saying, and I've put this in my first book. I didn't actually allude to this, but I'm writing an article that when I finish it, it'll basically state that the federal government has created its own church and it considers itself the sovereign on this earth. This is why they have been, you know, ramming down our throat these anti-religious types of laws and policies for over a decade, dictating, you know, what topics can be taught, what can't be taught, and they're isolating everything that questions what they want you to believe and making it impossible for that to enter into the education system. This is why creation has no longer any presence or any advocacy. The intelligence design is absent from the dialogue for our kids to really understand that there is something more than just this Big Bang Theory. And as a matter of fact, we prove that the Big Bang Theory, that we all basically evolved and that type of thing is, you know, it's ludicrous. There's absolutely no way. Absolutely no way. Because even though the hardware exists and even though science has proven that the conditions might actually occur, there's no way they can prove it. And secondly, the biggest part that they have the problem with is the code. There's just no way that software code that, you know, creates biological life and or plant life, because the genomes and DNA, which are literally two different things, are actually, you know, evidence that proves that we had somebody with intelligence design all life on this earth. That there is the commonality of all DNA and the commonality of all genomes. And so this is where we're becoming, and we're getting very, very close to understanding by gene editing, genome editing, and those types of things. Science is getting to a point where they can create anything. They're at that level of arrogance. Anyway. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions. Now, Timber Nation, we've plugged them. Go to TimberNation.com. If you've forgotten, this is where you can get good quality hardwood furniture, radio dust covers. If you're looking to be able to protect your equipment, then this is where you want to go. And we also have Ad Local for your tech needs for your company. If you're looking for, let's just say, you know, email services, if you're looking for domain services, reach out to Ad Local. Ben Carr, he will help you in getting your organization up and running and doing what needs to be done. Anyway, one of the things I kind of have said, and I need to get back to this, because what I want to do is really lay out the argument of why businesses need to be encouraged to actually start putting their money where their mouth is. We there's no doubt in my mind, we absolutely have to have businesses in the forefront in supporting the Constitution and supporting candidates that will only enforce the Constitution instead of giving favoritism towards those businesses who have gotten to where they are because they've been buying politicians like Trump. Trump was the first one to admit right there in public, yeah, I built the swamp. Every single creature up here, I paid for their previous campaigns. And so one has to look, and he paid on both sides. So is he culpable? I mean, can we blame him? In some respects, we absolutely can. So anyway, one of the things we also want to get into, and we kind of covered this a little bit before, but I wanted to talk a bit about this before I get into some marketing. There has been a huge effort in the federal government in trying to go after states, and South Dakota is a perfect example of what the heck is happening and how the federal government is using their bureaucracy to shut down industries within South Dakota. And in so doing, they're destroying that economy, because shutting down the timber industry, shutting down the milling and the lumber and the logging and all of that, that's all related, the trucking, these are all things that are interconnected with each other. And by doing this, it has created a huge vacuum for employment and for people to be able to, you know, just work to survive. The federal government is using unconstitutional laws, the color of law, in going after these agencies, and are not using these agencies to go after states and going after you and your family, because that's who they're affecting. That's who they're hurting. They don't care. You got to remember, when you look at the progressive model, they don't think we have a population problem. They actually believe that we have too many people and it's okay if people die. They don't care what the outcome is of their decision. Once a person has made it to become the elitist, and as you can see, there are plenty of elitists in Congress. There are plenty of elitists throughout the world. And they actually have this belief. They truly believe that the consequences of their decisions really mean nothing, because they believe that they're going to be protected. And that, you know, whether you and I die, that doesn't matter. We do not care, or they do not care. And it's the same thing with the Chinese government. The Chinese government actually comes right out and says, we have too many people. So one of the things that they're doing is, because they have so many people, they're allowing, and it's actually become a problem, because most of their population is addicted to gaming and, you know, being self-indulgent and so forth, because that's what China wanted to kind of placate them, because they didn't have anything else. So giving them phones and giving them games to play and those types of things kind of has backfired. Everything that they have been doing in manufacturing and engineering the Chinese communist society, it's all backfired on them just due to the fact that they don't understand the unintended consequences when they started limiting. So now China is actually lifting their limit on one child per family, because they realize that that's backfired. They're about ready to capitulate in 2030 when they don't have enough people have died off of the old age, and there's just not enough young people that are going to be able to sustain China. So they're going, wow, we really need to start encouraging people to have more kids. And just not too long ago, they were still, you know, crushing people if they had a second child. It goes to show you that they don't know really what they're doing, and it's all about control. It really is all about control. Now, one of the things that I also wanted to go through is I wanted to go through this expose on what I call this Liberty Summit. And so if I go to this website, and if you actually go to the Idaho Liberty Summit, and if you look at who the people were that actually went and participated in this, then you'll actually find that those who had the acceptable message. In other words, they really didn't care about a real solution. What they wanted was to give people a little nugget here and a little nugget there. And when you look at the Idaho Liberty Summit number 5, this is basically what just happened. The people that actually went there to speak, and I could provide this for you, none of them actually had any indications or inclinations of understanding what the heck's going on. And so as they've continued to, you know, bring forth these people, and I'll tell you, some of these people, like Alex Newman, really a sharp guy, understands education, and is trying to get you to fight education. In other words, he's taking you down to the fringe element and saying, you know, this is what we have to fight. We have to fight education. It's our number one problem. No. Unconstitutional government is our number one problem, and it's shared with the same problem of abortion, critical race theory, and everything else. And so as I've reached out and tried to explain all of this to Alex Newman regarding this nullification, single state nullification, and uniting on the Constitution, it's because of the association with that society that only wants to, you know, preach what they believe is the ultimate, you know, thing that this is the mind control. We'll be right back after this.
Run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what I'm talking about is this groupthink. Have you ever been in a room in business where everybody has to think a certain way? And anybody that thinks out, you know, differently as an outlier, and you start thinking out of the box, everybody looks at you like, what's wrong with you? Don't you know we have to think this way because, you know, the supreme leader here wants us to think this way? I've been in plenty of situations where that's the case. And I just don't fit in. I've always had a problem in those types of situations. And when I look at all of the things that many of these organizations are doing, if you're involved in an organization that is myopic and is not willing to actually engage with others on the Constitution and back out from what they're doing to actually save us from the perils that we face, then you are probably in what we call a controlled opposition. So I spent some time yesterday sending out information regarding tactical civics. And I tell people, you know, tactical civics seems like a really good organization. However, they're constrained by this thing called this deed of trust. And if you ask them, well, can you join with Republic Review? Can you guys actually support the enforcement of the Constitution? Absolutely not. They can't. They're constrained. So what that means is that because they're locked down, it's controlled opposition. They have no freedom to change their direction, to engage in things dynamically. When all of a sudden a solution comes along, they are tied down, which means that, you know, those people that are receiving the money that are involved in tactical civics, who are actually getting the payments, because there's lots of people that volunteer their time. How great would that be if you had an organization where you were being paid good money and then you actually had a lot of people working underneath you at the tactical level for free? Wow, what an awesome workforce. I mean, you're not really an employer. You're a very small, tight-knit type of financial, you know, group that only a few people are being paid. How cool is that? I mean, you're not even qualified to be, you know, large enough possibly to even have to provide health care for your people or what have you, if you're that small. So my point is that everybody gets involved in something. If you're involved in some of these groups, you need to start challenging them. And you need to say, why is it that we're cherry picking in what we're doing? Why can't we work with the National Liberty Alliance? Why can't we work with the We the People Foundation, the Constitution Association, these organizations that are absolutely open to working with everybody for a common cause, and that is to restore our constitutional republic by using Republic Review. See, these organizations aren't paying me a penny to be able to support and help drive Republic Review forward. So what's in it for these other people? And I've obviously told you, this is how they're putting a roof over their head. This is how they're paying for their meals and so forth. And so it is in their interest to maintain a relevant organization so that they can maintain that roof and the food and those necessities that they need. I cannot express enough my gratitude for the divine hand of providence and our Lord and Savior for the blessings that we've received in being able to do these things literally within our own means and being able to actually help others. It's truly a blessing. And when people actually, you know, provide or send a donation, buy books or what have you, all of that money is turned right back into the focus of paying for what we're already paying for. We want to just get to a point where we're no longer subsidizing this effort. And it would be kind of nice if we could actually sell enough books where I could actually repay the money that I've taken from my retirement system. Because as I realize that my life is being shortened very significantly with my wife having to be around, that money that I've taken from my retirement is basically taken away from her and her support and sustaining her, because we really planned on me being able to live a long life, because, you know, I was a very healthy person up until this bad diagnosis I got. So anyway, kind of goes to show you that there's reasons for, you know, working and trying to get everything you possibly can done as fast as you can, because you never know how much time you really have. Anywho, let us kind of move into some marketing. Let me see, is there anything else that I really wanted to kind of cover as far as topics? No. There's a Republican form of government and using the canonized constitution, restoring states, those types of things. We'll get into that stuff when we're done with the Constitution. So again, tomorrow I will start reading from the preamble, and we're going to go all the way through every amendment of the Constitution. I'm not going to isolate the Bill of Rights and do the Bill of Rights later. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, last year I really never got a chance to do that because there was just so much other stuff to do. Or at least I probably flew through it. I don't remember. And so with that, let's kind of move into some marketing, because how bad does it have to get? I mean, you've already seen what's going on in Afghanistan, what is going on with vaccinations, the hypocrisy from the left, and so forth. I mean, what else do you need to actually prove that we have to start stepping up and start engaging with every ounce of our energy that we can afford? Here's the bombshells. The CDC counts those. So when they're talking about deaths and who died from anything, in this particular case, if a person dies within 14 days of taking the COVID jab, in other words, getting your first inoculation or second one, they are considered as unvaccinated. So here's the story from G. Edward Griffin. Mainstream media is frightening people into taking COVID vaccines by promoting a study by the CDC that claims that Los Angeles residents who are unvaccinated are 5 times more likely to get COVID and are 29 times more likely to be hospitalized than those who took the jabs. However, the definition of unvaccinated is deceptive. The study defines unvaccinated as having received a first dose vaccine up to 14 days prior. That means if someone was hospitalized, admitted to the ICU, required medical ventilation, or died within 2 weeks of getting the jab, they are counted as unvaccinated. This intentional misleading data is now being used as justification for vaccination mandates and passports nationwide. It also fraudulently lowers the numbers of deaths and injuries linked to the COVID vaccines. It's just trying to put the two pieces together for you. Okay, so this next one is regarding I'll call it the invasion. Everybody wants to talk about the immigration policy. People crossing our border with no intent to apply, they have no intent of being involved in an immigration process and following the immigration policy. This is clearly an invasion. And so the U.S. Supreme Court revives Trump's Remain in Mexico immigration policy in dealing with this invasion. The U.S. Supreme Court denied President Joe Biden's bid to rescind former President Trump's immigration policy, the Migrant Protection Protocols, the MPP program, that forced thousands of asylum seekers to stay in Mexico awaiting U.S. hearings. The brief order by the justices means that the U.S. District Judge Matthew Casmark's ruling to revive MPP now goes into effect. The Department of Homeland Security will continue to vigorously challenge the district court ruling, but said that the agency will comply with the order in good faith as it goes through the appeals process and has begun discussions with Mexico. Maybe if they get Mexico to recant that they're willing to do this, then they can come back and say, hey, you know, we're creating a really bad situation by not bringing them here and giving them good things, right? At the expense of the rest of America, because that's exactly what's happening. You know, in fundamental budgeting, you make so much money, and all of a sudden something comes along. And if you budget every dollar to go to this, and this, and that accounts for every dollar that you've earned for the pay period and something going into savings. Well, you can't be surprised if you can't put money into savings if you constantly, something comes along and says, well, I need to spend money on this now. I need to spend money on that now. If you have to do that, then you have to figure out where that money, because you can't spend the same dollar twice. Once you spent that dollar, it's gone. So to spend another dollar on something else that's just popped up, you either have to take that from savings or you have to actually take credit and go in debt over that. That is where the fool makes his mistakes, because a fool pays interest and a wise man earns it. You have to start learning that you have to start budgeting your money, and you have to budget your time as well, because if you've only got so many minutes in the day, you can only do so many things with those minutes. You can't spend that same minute twice. There's nothing you can do once that minute has been spent. Anyway, as we can hear, the promo, and as you can tell lately, because of my lethargy, my going through withdrawals from this medication that I had to take all summer, I'm bleeding into the promo. So let me just cut myself here, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's go to the next story. And as a matter of fact, this one also happens to deal with, and actually it's kind of a recent one. It was identified in August, but it's just starting to trickle out. You're just starting to see this information regarding the vaccine in Japan, where they've actually pulled the Moderna doses because of its reaction to magnets. And so what ended up happening was the Japan's Ministry of Health, again, this is G. Edwards' Need to Know News. If you haven't signed up for his Need to Know News, you need to. Anyway, Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare reported that about 1.6 million doses of Moderna's coronavirus vaccine has been taken out of use in Japan because of contamination in some vials. 1.6 million, that's a lot of vials. The substance reacts to magnets. Moderna confirmed receiving several complaints of particulate matter in vaccine vials in Japan, but said it had found no safety or efficacy issues. Related to these reports, a Moderna spokesman said the drug maker believed a manufacturing issue at a plant in Spain was the cause. And come to find out, what they're finding was that thing that made them, and you couldn't even see this because it looks like clear liquid, but apparently there was a high enough count of stainless steel
stainless steel flakes or fragments, miniature fragments that got into the vaccination that caused these things to be magnetic. Just think about that. You know, here you have, you know, what you see is liquid, but it's clear, but it is still has a high enough concentration to where you put a magnet next to it, the vial of supposedly the vaccination, you know, it's appeal, or I should say, adheres to that magnet. And you're going, oh my gosh, what's in there? Is this metal water? Practically. Anyway, the next story, two companies control 99% of the world's productive assets and driving the greatest reset. Do you know who those two companies are? Well, interestingly enough, there's a disturbing video that reveals two investment firms, BlackRock and Vanguard, own Big Pharma, they own Big Media, and just about everything else you can think of. They have ownership in 1,600 American firms and control over $9 trillion in assets. The 1% owns more than the 99%, and 82% of all earned money in 2017 went into this 1%. Somewhat like a massive company store, Vanguard is the largest shareholder of BlackRock, and Vanguard is privately owned, so it is difficult to discern the individual owners, but it is linked to many of the oldest, richest families, including the Rothschilds, the Orsini family, the Bush family, the British royal family, the DuPont family, the Morgans, the Vanderbilts, and the Rockefellers, the world's class of elitists. No mention of Soros, no mention of Buffett, no mention of Gates, no mention of Bezos. So those guys, these other billionaires that have all of this money are going, huh. Now, I'm just telling you that there's a reason why when people get to this level of affluence, that their drive changes from the desire of money. And this is Joe Kennedy. When Joe Kennedy, right before the depression, the first depression and the crash of the market, Joe Kennedy pulled out just before the market crashed. Now, did he have an inside tip? Probably. But one of the things that he basically stated when he was pulling the money out was, first off, he looked at all of these people that were running around, you know, with supposedly millions of dollars. There was a bellboy that, you know, wanted to show Joe Kennedy, hey, take a look at my portfolio and all the stocks he owned and how much value he had. And he says when a common person has that kind of money, then he knew that the market was way too inflated. So that's when he got out. But at least that's what he says. Now, what he really has come out, and what I think was the most revealing right at the time of the crash, right after, was he says you get to a point when you have so much money that you realize that if you recklessly spent money every day of your life, and you still have enough money left over that you couldn't spend it all, then you are no longer driven by the appeal of having more money. The drive actually takes you towards power, that what you want is more power and increasing control of markets, of people, and so forth. And so it's, I don't want to say it has to happen to everybody, but why is it not happening when somebody hits a billionaire, when somebody becomes a billionaire? Why is it that they don't fall into that drunken stupor of control and trying to get power and those types of things? I'll give you a good example, because in Wyoming, there was a billionaire and his name was Foster Freeze. He died not too long ago. And I forget if it was cancer, COVID, whatever it was that killed him. But the point is that Foster Freeze, he was seeking opportunities because he saw here billionaire Donald Trump become president of the United States. And he was seriously considering, you know, jumping in because he wanted to have that level of control. He ran for governor, and he started getting involved in Wyoming politics, and he was actually beloved by a lot of conservatives and a lot of people there. But I still have my questions and my doubts whether this person, Foster Freeze, had he actually obtained that level of power, what kind of tyrant would he be? Would he be like Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney seemed to be a level-headed and fair, you know, fair-minded guy. I mean, in 2012, but obviously, you know, he went the other way. What happens to people when they get to that level of money and affluence? And I am just telling you that it is one of those, it's a natural tendency that when a person has that kind of dominion over others, they become drunken in the desire to have greater and greater control. And that's what you see. That's what you see with Bezos. You see this with all of these people. Anyway, so how's the World Health Organization promoting medical tyranny? And this is interesting from G. Edward Griffin News, that we're looking at a picture of Bill Gates in front of the World Health Organization. This is a documentary, by the way, and he says, this documentary reveals the depth of corruption at the World Health Organization that acts on behalf of its financiers. Bill Gates is the top source of funding, contributing more to the World Health Organization's $4.84 billion biennial budget than any national government. The video examines a number of health crises in which the World Health Organization acted in the interest of its donors and even admitted it, rather than public health, because the World Health Organization is captured by commercial interests who profit from their vaccine sales. It should be stripped of its authority and dictate and influence health policies across the globe. And I'll even go one further, and I'll say it should be labeled as a good old boy club in trying to, you know, just play in hedging bets like kind of like Madoff, what Madoff did in trying to do a Ponzi scheme, because that's what it seems like, that's what they're doing. They're actually just, they're using their influence and they're using this name, World Health Organization, like it's a government, when really it's a bunch of private people that are actually propping this thing up, pharmaceuticals and so forth, and getting it to basically support their agenda. One of the things I would like to see is I would like to see the evidence be exposed and come forward on what Bill Gates' intent is with this gene editing and the editing of DNA, because I truly believe that Bill Gates has blood on his hands, because I believe he's looking at trying to create people into his next Windows project, that he'll keep on upgrading us until he takes full control of our bodies and how they operate by this gene editing, just like he did with Windows and how Apple was the, you know, the contrarian controller. Folks, as a matter of fact, I know that Paul Venable sent me some information, and kudos to Paul, by the way, because when I said that there's this law out there that everything in 18 months has to double in speed and or, you know, cut space in half and what have you, he sent me a text and says, that's Moore's Law. So I appreciate it, Paul. When we're looking at, you know, trying to improve and trying to, you know, innovate and make our life better, it is a sad day when we actually see companies constraining stuff. Back to this whole concept of Moore's Law, I read an article, a technical article that exposed protein plasma in 1995, I believe it was, 1996, that this protein plasma was capable of storing incredible amount of data. So when we come back, I'll talk to you about this and how this whole concept has never come forward because of the necessary profits and Moore's Law. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so back in 1995, I think it was 95 or 96, when I read this article that they could take one inch cube of protein plasma, and in this protein plasma, it could provide instant and random access to a terabyte of data, kind of like your brain. A terabyte. Now, we're talking in the mid-90s when, you know, they were just jumping towards gigabytes, right? Because I believe mid-90s, we were still looking at megabytes and jumping towards, I think it was just about that time when we hit a gigabit. And we're talking terabytes of data in a one-inch cube. Random access, and the speeds were lightning fast, faster than standard primary memory. Primary memory being the memory that actually provides the memory for your processors. In other words, the DIMMs or what have you, not storage like a hard drive. These are the chips. This 1-inch square of plasma, the problem was being able to maintain the electricity to store it, because once it got unplugged, it lost everything. Now, we've got batteries, we've got other mechanisms to make this all possible, but why? Here's the question. As they disclose this technology and discovery, why is it that we're 25 years later and we still don't even see this coming forth? Why is that? And it's very simple. Because there were too many companies who were vested in the hard drive market, in the DIMM market, and constraining technology from coming to the market meant more money for the manufacturers like Seagate, Western Digital, and those players. Bottom line, this is what happens when we allow people to control with patents and those types of things. Now, whatever happened to that? Did somebody just go buy that up? Now, see, if there was a patent 20-some years ago that bought that and they still are holding on to that and hiding that as a trade secret, isn't that criminal? Wouldn't we be better off to say we need to shorten all of these types of patents to say that you can't constrain technology, you can't strangle our future just because you are looking to make extra money, you know, for the next 25, 30, 50 years or more. This is why I really believe that, you know, the many things that we're doing are critical. The definitizing and or canonizing of the Constitution is critical, because once the states actually stand up and draw the line and say, we do not recognize anything that is not within the framework of the organic Constitution and its amendments, the what we've acknowledged as ratified amendments. And at this point in time, that is amendments 1 through 27. There's some people that are challenging some of them, but if you look, there is nothing within any of those amendments that would constrain the state and states from being able to join together and force the federal government into compliance to all those things. As a matter of fact, the 17th Amendment doesn't take away the sovereignty of the states. It only changes who, you know, or how they are appointed. The states still have the full sovereignty. It didn't take away the states in having to ratify an amendment. No, that still exists. It just changed how they were able to appoint, how we now have to elect. We can undo many of these things quickly and easily. But more importantly, what we have to do is we have to definitize the Constitution so that we can take a stand and demand that government fully comply at every level of the Constitution. Now, let me get back into marketing, because I got a couple more minutes and I got more news stories than I have time. Now, one of the things that's important, because we went through this in the Massachusetts ratification debate, where you found that the members of Congress could not exempt themselves from any of the tyranny that they've created. Well, come to find out, members of Congress, their aides, and federal courts are exempt from vaccine mandates. Not sure if you knew this. President Biden, from G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News, President Biden issued two executive orders requiring vaccination against COVID for federal workers and contractors who work for the federal government. He also asked the Department of Labor to issue an emergency order requiring businesses with more than 100 employees to ensure their workers are vaccinated or tested on a weekly basis. But the mandates for federal employees do not apply to members of Congress or those who work for Congress, also not for the executive branch or the federal court system. Illegal immigrants or illegal migrants rushing across the border are not included in the order mandating COVID vaccination. So indirectly, they are exempt. Also, it is fascinating how no one in the press corps asked the obvious question. If the vaccines are truly safe and effective, why is anyone exempt? Think about this matter for a moment, and then it will become clear that the COVID vaccines have nothing to do with stopping pandemics or protecting lives. You will also know who is to be spared and who is to be sacrificed. G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News. Next story. Here's what's happening, and this is actually what happened at a cyber polygon, if you've ever heard of these things, and you're not going to like it. Cyber Polygon is a training simulation of what it would be like in the event of a massive and highly destructive attack on the digital grid that connects computers, satellites, databases, and control systems upon which all major functions of society depend. This simulation took place on July 9th, 2021, and was sponsored by the World Economic Forum under the watchful eye of its founder, Klaus Schwab, and it was live streamed to the world. Many people were concerned because it passed simulations of large-scale disasters sometimes turned out to be rehearsals for a planned event, such as the 9/11 and COVID-19. As though on cue to create heightened interest in the polygon, a huge ransomware attack took place over the 4th of July weekend, just before the live stream, which can be watched below. The video compares, you want to watch this, so you're going to need to go to Need to Know News and pull up this video. The video compares cyber threats to COVID-19, which was known as an anticipated attack, and says that a cyber risk is the digital equivalent. It is estimated that if the internet is shut down for one day, it would cost economies $5 billion. In addition to the economic loss, the termination of essential services such as healthcare and transportation would cause great human hardship and premature death. Approximately 5 million people tuned on the live stream. So in other words, 5 million people watched this thing live. The simulation involved 120 teams from 29 countries. It featured global leaders and experts, including Mikhail Mishustin, Prime Minister of the Russian Federation, and Klaus Schwab, founder of the Executive Chairman for the World Economic Forum, as well as top officials of Interpol, ICANN, Visa, IBM, Cyberbanks, MTS, and other organizations. One of the end goals of the Cyber Polygon was to determine how to do more through job on silencing criticism that goes against the mainstream narrative, closing down the internet completely, except for governments and favored corporations, would be the policy of choice. Interesting. So you want to go to Need to Know News. That's J. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, and you're going to want to watch that video. Now, let me get one more squeeze in here. Bankers Endgames revealed. Use COVID as excuse to control everyone and everything. Now, when they talk about bankers, we're not talking about these little banks. We're talking about these big guys. Five financial experts spoke at a recent symposium to explain how the 1% is herding the entire human race into servitude. John Titus showed that COVID was used as a cover for the Federal Reserve's creation of over $3 trillion in bank money. Other analysts offered suggestions of how to stop the scheme and return to a system that supports prosperity and freedom. Patrick Wood closed the symposium by explaining that converting our present economic system into a sustainable development technocracy is the end game, where money will be replaced by fictitious units of energy as the medium of currency. He quoted Rosa Kaur, who described the UN Agenda 21 this way, quote, "It is the inventory and control plan for all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all food, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world," close quote. Most people look at communism as just controlling the means of production. I've been telling people for years that Marx didn't even and couldn't fathom controlling the means of consumption. And that's exactly where we are today. We're in a much more brutal and much more despotic form of communism, when they actually not only seize control of production, they seize control of consumption, and they can dictate whether you can consume it or whether you can't. And so we're rapidly heading down this path. We are in a Bolshevik revolution. What is it going to take, friends, for you to actually get involved? For you to actually stand up and say, no more. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And in our next episode, tomorrow, we're actually going to be covering and starting on Constitution Day, reading the Constitution. We're out of here. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.